Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. Okay, so Alabama and Georgia are the only good teams in college football. Surprise, surprise. Is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. Lexington Bob, formerly known as Pig Suey Paul, but he's dead. And with me, as always, is AJ. The team up north might actually be relevant? Marchese.
Yeah, like I've been saying all year, they're going to win the national championship.
Today, we're talking all the NFL draft prospects who flourished and who needs to be nourished in week 5 of college football. Let's hit it.
Going up to Vegas, gonna set my draft, gonna set my draft on fire.
Seven
rounds in heaven with my lady, driving out to Vegas, baby, looking for a Stingley or Thibodeau. Who's gonna bat it on draft day? Who's gonna wager future picks away? Who's gonna reach for a blue blood lineman? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Hockey season's back. You know what that means. AJ's launching a new Spotify Green Room to tackle all the latest issues in the NHL. Specifically, like, is the preseason too short, AJ?
Yeah, it is.
They need more games to get warm.
Look, if ice, it's cold. You need more time on it to warm up.
So listen to AJ's live audio-only sports talk Spotify Green Room, because that's what they all are, on Spotify Green Room, which is free to download and to use, where you can talk to AJ, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, reacting to breaking news like, will Richie get a third goal in this Leafs preseason game? Share your own experiences on the app. All you need to do is create a profile, link your Twitter, join the group. You'll get notified when Spotify Green Rooms go live. And that's right, you can download this app for free in the iOS App Store. Come with your coldest takes, because it's hockey. Get it?
Ice cold.
Ice cold. You know who's ice cold in week 5 of the college football season?
Arkansas.
Yeah, now I gave up on them. But Lexington's back, baby. Lexington's a football town again.
I like that we have, like, the loser's bracket immediately where Arkansas plays Ole Miss this week.
I know. It's so weird. I love it. Okay. Last week, there was a ton of hype going into week five for the slate of games. I don't think it lived up to it at all, right?
No, obviously not, because Arky got blown out, and I mean, Ole Miss kind of made it look decent, but not really.
It was not, yeah, like it was 42-14 in the final seconds.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, it felt like they were never going to lose, even though, again, it was a closer game, 24-13 over Notre Dame. To me, the best games were Stanford's upset of Oregon, but I don't think anyone was watching that until the final bit. And Kentucky, Florida.
Yeah, and that, I don't even know if that was overly...
It was a weird week.
Great either. Yeah, it was a weird week.
Like, I mean, even like Texas A&M lost to Mississippi State. Nobody cares because Tammy's out of it at this point. Fresno State fell to Hawaii. Like, UCLA lost in the late game to ASU. I mean, Ed Orgeron's on the hot seat after that Auburn loss, but, I mean, Bo Nix has arrived. But, yeah, I think the week overall was kind of weak, even though it was supposed to be amazing. But this week, I think week six is set up to be incredible.
Yeah, that's right. You know what I think I heard? It was that no big Saturday night game.
Well, guess what? Let me tell you something about week six. It also doesn't have a big Saturday night game.
Let me tell you something about week six. It has a big Saturday night game. Michigan at Nebraska.
Well, I mean, Nebraska's on that hot streak. So how you feeling?
I already told you, they're going to the playoffs. They're winning the national championship game.
Obviously, the week six big game was supposed to be Alabama, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
But, like, now that's irrelevant. Utah, USC is the Fox game. And then, yeah, Michigan, Nebraska is the ABC game.
That 4 o'clock, I don't know why Penn State and Iowa, it's a 4 o'clock kickoff.
I know.
Maybe they think it's America's game of the week, whether it's starting at 4:25 or what.
I don't know, AJ, but I'm excited for a good week of football. Because every week's a good week of football when you're a friend of Seven Rounds in Heaven, and all you have to do to become a friend of Seven Rounds in Heaven is Venmo AJ $100.
Okay. Yeah, and then I'll officially declare you as a friend. Every time we've said, like, named a player as a friend of the show, they paid us to say that.
Yep. Quinn Miners actually owes us half his contract.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Week five, superlatives. Best freshman. Where are you going? Who caught your eye in the freshman?
I don't have class. A lot of freshmen. And you know what I'm thinking now? This is probably totally empirical, but I feel like there's less freshmen playing this year, especially in big spots, just because we got all the super seniors.
I think, A, you're correct. B, I think, like, we're only a month into the season.
Yeah. Right?
It generally takes time.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I think both those are reasons as to why. And the best teams aren't playing very many freshmen, and we're generally watching the best teams.
Yeah. And, hey, but the best team did place a freshman a little bit. He got in on the action. They mixed him in finally. J.J. McCarthy, QB1 in a couple of years. Played a little bit for Michigan. Looked good, man. One attempt. One completion. It went 56 yards for a touchdown. Beautiful deep ball to Baldwin. That was sick. They're mixing him in on the run. He got a touchdown run on a QB sneak. A couple other carries for 7 yards total. J.J. McCarthy, best freshman this week.
I respect that. I'm going to go with the son of a CFL legend.
Oh, yeah.
The son of Arland Bruce III. And his son is Arland Bruce IV, who actually had a big impact. So we thought that Missouri-Iowa game would be a little better than it ended up being. Obviously, Talia Tungvailoa really collapsed. But the Iowa stud has arrived. He was playing a ton.
Yeah. He's sick.
He ended up with 6 catches, 43 yards, and a touchdown. But he looked good against Maryland. And, his dad's one of the best CFL receivers from my childhood.
He was always, like, wasn't he always up to antics too, Arland Bruce?
Yeah, he's always fun. You know who I always thought he reminded me of, just in terms of, like, kind of the talent and the antics, is Andre Rison.
he's the bad moon of the CFL.
Exactly. I'll give you a more dominant freshman performance, though.
Impossible.
How about Georgia redshirt freshman center, Cendric Van Pran, who absolutely dominated the point of attack for that Georgia offensive line against Arkansas. And that, we know that Arkansas front seven is talented. Mm-hmm. He was moving John Ridgeway around. And I didn't know much about him heading in. And the ground game, I mean, with Stetson Bennett, it didn't even matter at quarterback because they just pounded the rock. And Van Pran was moving. He's 6'4", 310. He's a former top 100 national recruit. This guy's going to be an NFL dude to watch out for. Probably as soon as next year.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like Georgia underclassmen, offensive linemen are always hyped as hell. And then they'll get to, like, the senior year and they're, like, a fifth-round pick. I don't know why. I'm not saying he's going to be that.
Not my boy. Not my boy, Sed Van.
No, not him.
It's that dude. Okay, you want to jump to sophomores? I think there's a lot more sophomores.
Yeah, no, I had to cut myself off. But it's a lot of, like, usual suspects for me at sophomore.
Who stood out? I mean, who Bijan Robinson is, you can write his name in marker here each week.
Yeah, I put him at the top of the list. I mean, just a massive game. I didn't even
put him because I just figured.
Yeah, no, but he was especially good this week. Like, he carried the Longhorns to the win. 35 carries, literally carried them to the win. 216 yards, 2 touchdowns. A little less through the air than usual. 2 catches for 22 yards. But I'm always so impressed on how he looks running routes. He looks like a big slot out there, just making NFL-level wide receiver cuts. It's kind of ridiculous. And honestly, just specifically, I loved his like last couple carries at the end of the game when Texas needed a couple first downs to milk the clock and end the game. And he just refused to go down. He kept churning his feet, pushing the pile, just big boy running. And it was really fucking impressive because, I don't know, I got the feeling TC was going to get the ball back. And Bijan just kept going and going and going and picked up 2 first downs like with like multiple 10-yard runs. And it was pretty crazy.
And on the other side of that, I didn't get eyes on TCU Texas. How'd Zach Evans look?
I was gonna name him here too, not as flashy, but had a really good game again. 15 carries, 113, a touchdown, a couple catches, 11 yards. No, he looked really good too. And I said to you guys to the group chat, I think Texas is back, the state of Texas that is, as the running back state. Like every school there has a good running back. Obviously Spiller, Bijan, Evans, Ulysses. At SMU, what's his face? Sincere McCormick. Like every school, like has the North Texas running back is fun. Like every school's got a really good running back right now.
Love it. Okay, you handled the running backs from Texas. I'll handle the interior defensive linemen from the two best programs in the country, Alabama and Georgia. On paper, Jalen Carter for Georgia and Tim Smith from Alabama didn't have massive games, but Their impact goes far beyond the box score. I thought Jalen Carter was unblockable for Georgia against Arkansas. And then when I looked up his stats in the game, he had 1 tackle. I was shocked. The whole Georgia defensive line dominated the Arkansas offensive line. But he, especially in terms of pass rush, I thought he looked fantastic. So agile, and he's wearing number 88, which I hated for a defensive tackle, but he looked so explosive and so agile in laterally too in space. And then for Tim Smith at Alabama, he looks like the next future dude. And I heard a lot of hype about him entering the year, how they like him more than some of their upperclassmen. And him just getting in the rotation, he is so freaking powerful. He was that Ole Miss offensive line isn't that, like, there's multiple prospects on their offensive line, more on that later, but he was just standing dudes up and taking up all the space in the world. I thought he looked great as a run defender.
Sticking to Alabama, Will Anderson had another fucking studly performance for them.
I think you could, it's crazy because Alabama, I was thinking about this while I was watching, Tim Smith on the D-line, Drew Sanders at linebacker, Will Anderson at edge, and Malachi Moore at DB. All 4 of them are true sophomores. All 4 of them could be here this week.
Yeah, and then obviously you mix in the fucking upperclassmen that are still really good. Yeah, but didn't Kiffin say, like, Anderson's going to go first in the draft or something like that, I think, after the game? But yeah, he was all over the place. A sack, a couple TFLs, a couple hurries. He's already so good against the run, I feel like. 9 tackles. Yeah, no, I mean, he's going to be up there for sure this time next year.
I'll throw another SEC playmaker at you. Kayshon Boutte for LSU, who could go here every week with Bijan Robinson. Most of his damage came in the first half against Auburn. He had that 1 touchdown down the sideline where I still don't know how Max Johnson fitted in there, nor how Boutte tracked it. But he finished for 6-for-1 and 27 in a score against the Tigers. I thought he looked awesome. He's going to be a first-round pick. That's the way it's trending, at least.
You speak of a first-round pick. I'll give you tight end 1, Michael Mayer. I went back to the well here again. eight catches, 93 yards, really the only thing on Notre Dame's offense. That first drive, we ran the slot route on 4th and 10, which I couldn't believe they were going for it, 4th and 10 on the first drive. And he looked like a real wide receiver out of the slot and just ran a little out, and it was fucking crisp as hell. And sometimes it's like, it's not like he's explosive or fat, like overly fast or anything. He's just like really smooth for his size. And obviously he was the go-to guy against a really good defense. They lost. And at the end of the game, he was playing on one leg and they were still forcing the ball to him. Yeah, he's baby Gronk. You're right, Rob. He's even got the banged up run towards the end of the game like Gronk does.
I'll throw one more. Tarheeb Still, the Maryland corner, I thought he looked really good, especially early against Iowa when Maryland was still in that game. He had in the first like quarter, I think, he had two pass breakups and another play where they threw a wheel route to the running back and he just had perfect coverage, so it was a no-go. But one of the pass breakups came covering a wide out on an out route, and the other came covering a tight end. And I just thought he was showing a ton of coverage versatility.
Weekday Warrior, I assume we're talking more from that ball game.
Yeah, so the obvious one, I knew you would put it too. Dante Demas Jr., who was looking great against Iowa, and that was when he got hurt, it was really when the game
flipped. 100%.
He had four catches for 61 yards before he got hurt, and then obviously he had his leg get kind of crumbled up on, and got carted off, air casted. Obviously, he's done for the season. And we saw him mouth, "I'll be back."
I'll be back. Yeah,
yeah. So, one of our favorite senior prospects here, and seemingly returning to Maryland. But yeah, that freaking sucked. Because God, he is so good.
It really sucked. And like you said, his injury completely flipped the ball game. It was tight. He was just like going like posting in on them all day, and it was easy money for Tulua. And then once he got hurt on the return, it just ended all momentum that Maryland had, and it was a runaway fucking within 10 minutes of that injury. It was pretty ridiculous. And I'll flip to some Hawkeyes. I'll give one offense, one defense for the Hawkeyes. I thought on offense, Tyler Goodson, he's not like super flashy. He looked really good receiving, catching the ball. Had touchdowns.
I actually ended up putting him for shooting up the board.
Yeah, no, I think he deserves it. He's got an interesting frame. Like, I think, like, honestly, I think he's going to be a really solid RB2 is what I came away with after watching that game.
You know what I thought? I thought he reminded me a lot of James White.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess. Because White's
he's,
not...
He's kind White, of... He's not the biggest guy, but he's got a little... He's short, but he's got some squattiness to him.
You know what I feel like it is? He's, like, kind of, like, top heavy, where he's got, like, a lean lower body, but, like, a wide upper body. Like yeah, he's got a funny build.
And he looked good, obviously, in space. He had the big touchdown, catch and run touchdown. Yeah, he's a competent pass catcher, and I don't know. He looks like a future satellite back.
Yeah, like just sees the holes, hit it. Like, and it's not like he can't run between the tackles either, because he does it a lot for them too. So like, I think like, yeah, like that, like RB2, like I don't know who's a good example. Like I don't know. I can't think of a good example, but. Guy who, like, maybe like Jamal Williams, even though they're not the same football player, but where you use him in passing downs, but you can run between the tackles too.
Yeah. Another obvious weekday warrior for me was coming out of that Virginia-Miami game, Keaton Thompson, who's just listed as football player on the Virginia Cavs roster because a former Mississippi State quarterback won. This man doesn't wear he wears number 99. Two, he plays like wildcat quarterback. He's technically the backup quarterback. He plays wide receiver. He had a big run against Miami. He finished with 47 rushing yards on 3 carries. He had 4 catches for 55 yards. After the game, Bronco Mendenhall just said, he is UVA football. I freaking love him.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun in that game that was actually pretty fun.
Yes. It had that Dontavian Wicks, my guy, had that insane touchdown.
He did. That was unreal. I honestly, I don't think it should count. Not that it wasn't a catch. It's just too weird. Too weird. It shouldn't count.
Hear me out on Keaton Thompson. Someone's going to maybe not draft him, but he's going to be in a camp doing some weird stuff. Like, this is the Taysom Hill.
Yeah, you calling it right now? It's Taysom?
Yeah, this is this year's Taysom Hill. Sean Payton's drafting him in the fourth round.
I'll throw one more name out there. The Iowa defense. I thought Jack Campbell played a really good game. Not like a super flashy game. Only had three tackles, which is low for him.
Yeah, he had that pass breakup that led to the pick.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that PBU was just such a great play. And like, even if it didn't lead to an interception, it was the first one, too. That was still just a great PBU, and it was just double added that it got picked off, too. I thought that was really impressive play.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about him much, but he's had a great year so far.
Yeah, I feel like this – I know it wasn't a huge game, but that blowout was really impressive, so I got Hawkeyes listed here.
Well, we probably have a lot more next week, too, when they roll through Penn State.
Amen.
Who's your best offensive prospect this week?
It's called a segue for a reason, baby. I didn't have a clear-cut guy, so I went with Tyler Linderbaum. He's just, again, looking like a fucking stud. The reach blocks he was making against Maryland were pretty fucking silly. Just the athleticism you see on every snap from him is pretty unreal. And I don't know. I think there was one play that was outside, and like he made one block. He's already outside the tackles. Like, make another block, climb. It's just pretty silly. He's kind of unreal at this point right now.
I'm going with an offensive lineman as well. I'm going with Evan Neal, Alabama left tackle, who helped bulldoze Alabama to 241 rushing yards against Ole Miss. Nobody could do anything against him. Even when he didn't look fundamentally clean at times in that game, in terms of his feet and getting to landmarks, he is such a massive human being and such an athlete that it didn't matter. He would just lock everybody. Like, nobody did anything against him. It was pretty ridiculous. Like, you wouldn't notice him if you, like, I on the rewatch, I just stared at him the whole time, basically, and it was a joke. Like, it didn't seem fair. It was crazy what he does. Like, his combination of length, power, and athleticism is ridiculous. He's the top tackle in the country for a reason.
You think he's gonna be the first pick in the draft?
It's trending that way. I mean, obviously, it depends who has the pick, but...
if Jacksonville has the
like
pick.
If Jacksonville has the pick... Unless Detroit has the pick, pretty much everyone there could use him.
Lions going to take Thibodeau, though. They got Jared Goff.
There you go.
Speaking of best defensive people from Michigan... my best defensive player, I went with Sauce Gardner, and it wasn't like a fucking big flashy game. He only had two tackles. Did have the interception that was just incredibly easy for him because Jack Cohen, I don't know what the hell he was doing, getting hit, fading away, threw it right to him in the red zone. But he was there. But I just thought he's just shutting shit down. Whoever was opposite of him. Yeah, go ahead.
For a bit there, they weren't even they weren't even looking at him.
No, they were not going at him. Like, to the point that they really only went after Kobe Bryant. That's his name, right? Kobe? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I knew the name, and then when I said it aloud, I put it together. I'm like, wait. It
sounds weird.
Yeah. For real, they just stopped going at him. And you know, I really wanted to see Sauce just follow Michael Mayer. I thought that would have been so much fun and just like a great game plan. They didn't have to do it though. But no, he just shut down. And like,
Sauce had there was that one, not the interception, but on a different, I can't remember who he was covering, but they ran a crossing route and he baited Cone to the, like, I think it might actually Pine might have been in this point.
Yeah.
But he like baited it so it looked like it should be kind of a easy throw, and then once the ball was released, like, it was ridiculous how easy it was. Like, he had the inside hand on the hip and just ball in front or hand in front, break up pass, easy money. Sauce doing Sauce. I knew you'd pick him for defensive. So
he's got really impressive recovery speed, and it's recovery speed might not even be the right word because he's baiting it. And you see him doing this every week. Like, he was doing it against Indiana, too. Where, like, I feel like he gets bored to a point. He's like, all right, I want another pick. And he just leaves a sliver of hope and shuts it down. Yeah, like, yeah. Avery Davis has been pretty, like, big for Notre Dame. And he didn't really do anything against him at all.
So I knew you'd pick him. I put him for shooting up the board. But I went with Jordan Davis I'm keeping it all SEC, baby. Jordan Davis is my best defensive prospect, who could have gone for a play the box score as well, because against Arkansas, just on paper, just two tackles, but they could not run the ball. He dominated Ricky Stromberg. He sat down, ate up space, and then there was multiple times where he'd slip a block and chase down a play and like forces it to be stretched out, and sometimes he'd make the play, and sometimes because he was doing that, other guys would. There was one play where I couldn't believe he kind of shot a gap on it, which I think was an inside zone run, and because he shot the gap, the running back bounced it, and Jordan Davis just chased him down. He's 6'6", 340 doing that. He's a nose tackle that, like, seeing what Vita Vea is doing on Sundays, teams are going to fall for
getting no stats. Yeah, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
They got to start making, like, sack assists, because, like, multiple times he just blew up the entire left side of the line, and then Joe Tryon and Shoyinka just easy cleanup sacks. Like,
yeah. Okay, who's your top shooter up the board this week? We've already named two of my five.
I'm gonna stick in that game and stick with a guy that I could have easily put for outplay the boxer. I'll go with Myjai Sanders, who, yeah, we know Notre Dame isn't trotting out the usual Notre Dame offensive line, but I thought he was...
I did put him for outplay the boxer.
Yeah, I put someone else who could have been best defensive prospect, so I'm just rotating guys this week. yeah, no, but again... He was terrific. Three tackles, a TFL, a pass defense, a couple hurries. Cone's second interception was directly a result of Myjai Sanders blowing him up as he released it. So credit to him for that pick, too. I think it felt like he was constantly harassing whatever Notre Dame quarterback had out there. And it was a really impressive game. And
yeah,
I didn't focus on Myjai like through the first couple weeks, but I thought he started a little slow and he shut me up. So.
This is my second time for putting him for a play the box score. And he also looked really good against the run for Notre Dame, setting the edge. That was a big takeaway for me. Their left tackle was getting cooked by whoever was up against him, but he was cooking the right tackle too. You saw some speed to power. You saw a nice swim move at times. And then, I thought the power at the point was kind of something he needed to improve on, and he really did against Notre Dame. I'll stick on the defensive side of the ball. I'll go with N'Kobe Dean, the linebacker for Georgia, who is one of the best blitzing linebackers I've seen.
Yeah.
He had 1.5 sacks against Arkansas, and just the combination of timing and just ferocity. And he's not a big guy. He's like 220, 6 foot 220. But he just plays with his hair on fire. And obviously the concern with him is length, size and length, but He's such an impressive downhill athlete, and he is so explosive, and just everything's a car crash with him. He's one of my favorite players in the country, and he was just terrorizing KJ Jefferson.
Yeah, I mean, watching him explode like that on blitzes, it's hard not to think of Roquan Smith, right?
Yes, I like that.
Because, I mean, I'm not saying it's a comp, but, you know, similar size off the same school. And that skill set, it's very similar. I mean, the Bears feel like the Bears haven't done it as much with him, but at Georgia, they always had that perfectly timed Roquan Smith blitz, and it blew shit up. Speaking of perfectly timed blitzes, Rob, I'm going to put Daxon Hill shooting up the board, who we haven't talked too much about this year, but both of us loved in the summer. It wasn't a rocky start, but I thought it was a really interesting game from Dax Hill, where like DK for Wisconsin got him on a slot fade for the touchdown right before the half. Right before that, Daxon had him, like, he's just manning up against DK, and he had him like really tight coverage, but DK made the tough catch on the sideline right before that. We go to the second half, and like outside of that, Hill was just all over the place, it felt like, for the Michigan defense. He blitzed perfectly on the first drive of the third quarter, and that just laid Graham Mertz out, literally breaking his ribs or whatever and sending him out of the game. It was beautiful, perfectly fucking struck hit right in the side. Teaching tape for a blitzing DB, I would say. Then he got his revenge on DK, had a PBU on him on a deep out on third down, really nice play, and then topped it off with the great play for the interception, where he was just sitting on the underneath route. He read Wolf's eyes and dropped off to make the leaping interception. Really flashy game, really impressive game. And it started with he wasn't in bad coverage actually on the touchdown. Merch threw a really nice ball, and DK ran a nice route. So I think he had a really impressive game overall.
It's funny that when you have a Michigan guy, you spend like 10 minutes talking about him.
He had a flashy game. That's all. That's it. I made a lot of notes. All
right. Say that shit about Chris Olave when he cooks him next month.
Chris Olave, two catches for 12 yards against Tulsa? Yeah, right.
Go check what he did against Rutgers. That's your favorite program.
I'll stick
a DB. You love long corners. How about Nick Grant at Virginia, who broke up three passes against Miami? He's a 6'3 corner. He also was playing like some dime linebacker, had a huge run stuff on I think it was a fourth and short. He physical, long, rangy. He's had a kind of a bit of an up and down career at Virginia, but he has the intangibles that the modern NFL loves at corner. Physical and long, and does a really good job locating and finding ball in phase. I think he's going to be a guy at the Senior Bowl.
Speaking of physical DBs that played on a weeknight, I put Riley Moss here, who 6'1", almost 200, had the pick, five tackles, had a really nice TFL, just a great play on Tulua's running, just knifing down off the block, making the tackle. Was great. He's a good athlete. I think he was like a high school sprinter, right? Yeah. Sorry?
Sneaky good athlete?
Yeah, he's a sneaky good athlete.
Is your pro comp Jason Sehorn?
My pro comp is Jason Sehorn or Troy Apke, you choose. Next level, though, I feel like he could kind of play anywhere in the secondary. I mean, I lean moving him off corner because he's not allowed to. But at nickel or safety, I think you're going to get an interesting ball player. And he's balling out for this Iowa defense right now.
Okay, my final, because we already hit Goods and we already hit Sauce. I put James Cook here. Me too. I still think he's the best running back at Georgia. Both him and Zamir White played well against Arkansas. But Cook was just ripping off explosive run after explosive run. He just is such an agile and twitchy back. And they didn't even get him. I think the best thing about him is what he does as a pass catcher. And because they could barely throw the ball. They didn't even get him involved in that part of the game. But in a running back class that doesn't look too great, James Cook's going to be a guy, especially because I hope he's at the Senior Bowl. He should be a guy everyone wants on their team.
Yeah, I think he'd get there, and they're definitely saving the passing aspect for when they need it against Alabama. you hit my couple Georgia guys too. I'll throw one last name out there, going back to Cincy. Alec Pierce, who I kind of liked in the summer, had a big game for the Bearcats. 6 catches, a buck 44. He just kept getting open deep, stacking the DB. Ritter hitting him. It's impressive. I like Pierce as that like deep threat jump ball kind of guy. He's a fun dude. Like maybe he gets. I mean, Ben Skoranek is still on a roster. Speaking of Notre Dame, so I think Alec Pierce can be on a roster this time next year.
Respect, Ben Skoranek comp. Nice. you love white skill position players. Okay, moving to slide down the board. I'm going to start. I've mentioned the Senior Bowl a couple times here, so I'm going to start with sliding down the board with, in quotation, senior QBs, because they're not all technically seniors, but they all would have been or are going to be eligible as Senior Bowl quarterbacks. This is not a great crop, and they haven't looked very good, and the quarterback class in general hasn't looked good, but I've been thinking, because Dane Brugler put together an article last week, and it was kind of highlighting that on average, I think there's 8 senior quarterbacks drafted each year, and he was going through who the possibilities could be for those 8. And outside of Kenny Pickett, who's really helping himself, some of the guys he was naming have not been great. I'll just go through a couple here. Jack Cohn, who looked horrible against Cincinnati, and Drew Pine, I think, is potentially going to take his job. Anthony Brown looked really poor against Stanford. Michael Penix Jr. has had and is hurt again.
Nightmare.
Against Penn State was once again horrible. Even in a victory, in a couple of weeks ago, we were trying to tie ourselves to Will Levis, the Will Levis train, because we'll take anything at this point. He didn't play well against Florida either.
No.
He's a fun college quarterback, but yeah, I think that the draft stock thing's coming on. And I don't think Desmond Ridder played very well against Notre Dame. I know statistically, 297, two scores, 9.3 yards per attempt. He missed so many throws. I just thought he played poorly, and I don't know. I don't know what we're thinking with this, who we're going to get at the Senior Bowl, but these quarterbacks are all not good.
Yeah, Jim Nagy, speaking of, he tweeted out today saying how great Kenny Pickett's been, how great Desmond Ridder's been, and how great Malik Willis has been. So I think you can pencil those three in for the Senior Bowl.
I should have said, in Dane Brugler's article, he said Willis, obviously, is a lock to get drafted, and Ridder's the other lock. And then he went through the six kind of up next guys, and Pickett was the top one, and rightfully so, given what he's done. But, yeah, I don't know what we're going to be looking at here with this
senior. It's not a great sign that in the year of the super senior, it's bad for senior quarterbacks.
I know. But also at the same time, we're saying this now, and yeah, there's never actually that many great quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl. And as long as Malik Willis is there, I think I'll be happy.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I mean, Kenny Pickett will have the Nathan Peterman week and get himself drafted in the fourth round. And yeah. Ridder will be interesting. Okay, let's take a quarterback. I don't know where you wanted to talk about Matt Corral, but I'm bringing him up here.
I think I put Matt Corral for outplayed the box score because I don't think he is the reason that they lost Alabama. And he did the most he could with what he had. It was kind of my takeaway. A couple drops too. I think he's still ended up completing 72% of his throws. He had, I think, three drops in the fourth quarter. Didn't turn the ball over. Offensive line was horrible. I actually put Nick Broker. Ben Brown and Nick Broker both here.
Me too.
For sliding down the board. Even more so for how little they did as run blockers. Ole Miss could not run the ball.
So, like, I didn't really put him here. I just wanted to see where we could talk about him because I didn't have a natural fit for him. I wouldn't have put him personally if I outplayed the box score, but he didn't turn the ball over. And I think that, again, I agree with everything you just said. He wasn't the reason they lost. Period. I almost feel like that's a win when they got blown out like that. He definitely wasn't particularly great or anything, but the game was away from them early. I mean, those fourth downs, they were... I don't mind going for it at all, but the play calls were really bad. I feel like every single time it was just zone read and they went up the middle. It was pretty bad. I don't think it was particularly great. I'm not really saying he's sliding down. Just when I wanted... I hoped to see some big special game from Corral. He didn't deliver, but I'm not blaming him. I'm just blaming myself for getting excited about that game.
I didn't put him anywhere, but like Dontario Drummond too didn't show up.
Agree. I did put Jerrion Ealy here for sliding down. Again, disaster of offensive line this week. 9 carries, 16 yards, but he hasn't been impressive to me at all this season.
No, I think you're right.
I think he had 100 yards against Tulane, and other than that, he's like, I don't know, this maybe just from me looking at the numbers, but I think he's like hovering around like, four and a half per carry maybe, which isn't what you want to see from an SEC back, you know, going through an early season schedule. It hasn't been impressive to me. Do you have any other Ole Miss players here while we get them out in the garbage?
No, I was going to move to the Arkansas-Georgia group.
Okay, let's go.
And it's all trench players from Arkansas for me. I already mentioned John Ridgeway got absolutely dominated by Cendric Van Praan. I'll go with Trey Williams too, who a week after putting himself on the scene, really did nothing against Georgia. He got called on offside. I didn't see very much from him in terms of pass rush toolbox. Because his athleticism wasn't getting the job done, and there wasn't a lot there for him. In other side of the ball, Ricky Stromberg, who I kind of already mentioned as well, and that Arkansas offensive line in general, they got their teeth kicked in by the Georgia D-line.
Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, fuck, I can't wait to see that Georgia defense against Alabama offensive line and vice versa, too.
This Georgia defense is so fun, specifically the front seven. Like, it's dominant.
I've said this to you. They might as well just sim the rest of the SEC season and just get us to that game.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point of any of it? You know what? I'm going to stick. And this one hurts me. And he didn't have a bad game particularly this week. I put John Metchie. I know he had the touchdown. It was a nice catch. I love him. But I just feel like he hasn't been great this year. He hasn't made a step up at all.
Very quiet.
Yeah. And Williams has been better than him. I think that's fair to say. And like, I feel like some people I've seen pegging him, like, I don't know, people might be just doing victory laps, but saying, oh, he was never really a wide receiver one, blah, 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 blah kind of guy. It's like, I don't think anyone thought he was, you know, some special wide receiver one, but I think both of us thought, like, a day two type of dude that you come in and is a solid wide receiver too. I was
way lower on him than you.
Okay, you were, but did you have a day two grade or like a fourth on him?
No.
What'd you have?
A check grade. Okay. Right,
yeah, no, I think I had a third.
Yeah, day three grade Nelson Aguilar comp.
Okay, so the best wide receiver two in the NFL. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. But no, he has not elevated himself at all, and yeah.
Notre Dame center Jarrett Patterson was a guy some people pegged as a potential top 100 guy, and obviously the history, that, like in recent history, Notre Dame's churned out offensive linemen. This year, their offensive line's horrible, and he's kind of the only guy. I talked about Kane Madden last week.
Yeah.
His defense, he transferred up from Marshall. Jarrett Patterson was the only guy who I think was expected to absolutely be that next Notre Dame offensive lineman. And he was not very good against Cincinnati. He wasn't the worst of the offensive line because he's surrounded by worse offensive linemen, but he did not play very well.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, let me do a quick one. Tulua I put here because he was absolutely terrible. but okay.
It doesn't count. He's not a real prospect.
I don't know. He's got some love, but yeah, I'm hold on. Did you watch the Wolfpack Boise State game?
I've got Carson Strong somewhere, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, where'd you put him? I put him here, but just because I wanted to talk about him.
I put him for a small school guy who caught my eye, just because I wanted to talk about him.
Okay, let's. Do you want to save him, or do you want to talk about him now?
I would talk about him now. Okay, so the quarterback group's been so bad.
Yeah.
That, like, him not being great, but not being horrible, puts you in a weird spot with him. That's kind of my takeaway. Like, he wasn't horrible against Boise State. They obviously hung 40. They won on the Smurf turf. He did what he needed to do. But he's not the reason they won.
I agree. Tolu Tau was, baby. More on that. I mentioned him for small school guy, but we'll get that out of the way. Yeah, no, I agree. Like, was he bad? No, not at all. I just didn't think he was anything special. And like you said, he's not actually sliding because the rest of the group is shit. But no, yeah, go ahead.
He didn't play like a guy who's going to be a first-round pick, though.
No, I thought he was holding on to the football way too long. Like, a lot of the game, he took four sacks. Hey, the new pride of Alberta, Bagna, for our Boise State, got him three times. That was impressive, sophomore. The touchdown, yeah, go ahead.
And so, and it's kind of the same thing coming to that Kansas State game. Like, their biggest games this year, they've played a lot of big games for a Nevada program. Like, they played Cal, they played Kansas State, and they played Boise State. He hasn't been bad in them, but he hasn't looked like what you expect the first-round pick to look like.
Exactly.
And, they still have Fresno State, they still have San Jose State, and they still have San Diego State, which are all big, obviously, Mountain West games. But, I don't know. He's had three chances to really lock himself in a quarterback class that's disappointed, and he hasn't disappointed, but he hasn't locked himself in. That's kind of the take.
By the way, let me say, I think San Diego State is the trick out of those three for some reason. But yeah, like the touchdown, back shoulder, goal line fade, good throw. You know, he just slung it away from the DB outside of Cole Turner's frame. Just trusted Cole Turner to get it. It was a really nice grab. I think it was a better catch than a throw, but it was a good throw. He had that one, like, 39-yard nice touch throw, but it wasn't, like, that special. Like we said, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't a wowing performance. But he doesn't really need to wow right now with the rest of this class. He can keep doing this week in, week out, and be a first-round pick. But, yeah, it's almost – I don't know. Like, I think we both had really high expectations for the Nevada team, and it's not like they're not winning. But it's almost worse for them that, like, they got the big games in the front of the schedule. Not that we didn't know that was coming. Because I almost feel like it's just going to take a little bit to just kind of get the wheels under them. And Strong's going to have more impressive games as we get further on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I hope, at least. Yeah.
Going to prospect who made me look stupid and sticking in that Georgia-Arkansas game. Jamari Salyer, their left tackle.
Yeah.
A guy who who's a big recruit, had hype over the summer, didn't love him. I thought, although I think he's a guard still, he was part of the reason Trey Williams didn't show up and was freaking washed away in the run game. He was moving dudes like they were nothing in the run game. I think if you really break it down, he still had some issues in pass protection. But as a guard, I think he's a potential top 100 guy.
No, I think that's fair. He's been really good this year, and I didn't put him anywhere, but he was definitely worth mentioning. Made me look stupid. You were low on Mechie. I was too low on Jahan Dotson. I had him, like, I think where you had Mechie and, in the summer, and I got to give you credit. You're right, because he's clearly a – I think Mechie's got him or Kuiper's got him wide receiver one right now. 8 catches, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns Saturday night against Indiana. He's been phenomenal. He's been so good, and I look dumb. I look dumb.
Prospect matchup. I went with Kentucky O line versus the Florida D line, where I don't think there was a clear loser or winner or anything. It was just a good, like, Brenton Cox Jr. and Zachary Carter against Dare Rosenthal and Darian Kennard. I don't think Rosenthal and Kennard played amazing or anything, and I don't think Cox or Carter really dominated them, though. It was just a fun watching a bunch of NFL talent go at each other.
No, it definitely was. And I agree. Like, it's like none of them really stood out, but it was entertaining. I kind of agree with you. I went with a funky one here. I went, because I watched most of this game. Pouring rain in West Lafayette. David Bell versus Chris Ottman Bell. The battle of the Bells, the Big Ten Bells. Almond Bell didn't have a monster game. He only had 2 catches for 40 yards and a touchdown. But his touchdown was so awesome that I wanted to bring it up. It was just a deep ball. Had to track it to his outside, adjust it last second in tight coverage. Snagged it in the pouring rain. I thought it was sweet. David Bell, 6 catches, 120. He was just so consistently good. And I think he's become super underrated just because no one's watching Purdue games. And He's just so well rounded, and he's legit. David Bell's really good. I just don't want anyone to forget about him.
I already mentioned both my outplayed the box score, Matt Corral and MyJ Sanders.
Yeah, for me, I went back to the easy pick here. Aiden Hutchinson, who kicked Wisconsin's ass all day long, only had 3 tackles and a half TFL to show for it. I don't know when he wasn't winning. Basically, like, he had a sack on a double team that he just kind of kicked their ass. He didn't get credit for it. Super stout. I think he's been so stout against the run, just setting the edge so well this year. I thought he could have been a defensive prospect of the week. I gave it to Sauce because he had the flashier game. But Hutchinson's been so good. So, so good. And if I can flip this out of nowhere prospect, I'll flip to the other.
Oh, I missed that. I was just wondering. I was sitting here. I was like, I haven't mentioned Devontae Wyatt at Georgia yet. Where is he in my notes? Then I realized I just skipped over out of nowhere prospect.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring it. I had a nice transition because my out of nowhere prospect I got too. But one is the guy opposite of Aiden Hutchinson, who I mentioned a couple weeks ago. David Ojabo, the other Michigan edge, 6'5", 250. He's from Scotland. The Loch Ness Monster, I call him. he had the flashier game. 7 tackles, 2.5 sacks. Also just beating Wisconsin's offensive line's ass in pass rush. Had a sack early in the game, just looked explosive off the line. Then he had the strip sack late, where a little dip just separated Wolf from the ball. Ojabo's come along, man. He's looking legit week in, week out now.
My out of nowheres are both Georgia boys. Devontae Wyatt, who Jalen Carter, big recruit. Jordan Davis, everyone knows him.
Yep.
Devontae Wyatt's like kind of like the senior who's less talked about, but he was just another guy who was dominating the Arkansas front. He had a sack and a half, and he looks like a Senior Bowl guy, and he's been awesome this year. I don't know where they're getting all these guys. They're probably just all massive recruits. But, yeah, 6'3", 315, and looked both like powerful but agile. I don't know. I liked what I saw. And then their third-string running back, Kenny McIntosh, who had a 27-yard catch and 57 on the ground. I don't think it seems like they always have a more old school back and kind of a more agile pass catchy guy, which it's Zamir White and James Cook now. But Kenny McIntosh, 6'1", 210, high cut. I think he's gonna be that kind of that pass catcher next year with Kendall Milton, who's the big recruit, who's just a true sophomore right now, as the more old school true RB1. But yeah, McIntosh, a guy to watch for next year.
I'm going to go back to the Big Ten on the Friday night. Dane Belton, the Iowa cornerback, I thought was really impressive. Had a tackle, had a pick. Interception was just a great break on the ball. 6'1", 205 is kind of long, but uses size well, moves well, like pretty fluid. I just thought he was lock solid in coverage against Maryland.
They got a lot of corners at Iowa all of a sudden.
Defense is good, yeah.
Okay, overhyped. I went with Josh Jobe, the Alabama corner, because I didn't think he played. Like, okay, the Alabama won pretty easily, but he did not look very good against Ole Miss. And that's a guy who, at one point in time, I don't know if the hype's still there, but it just stood out to me that he was the guy getting picked on that Alabama defense.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And funny enough, I went with an Alabama player who did play well. I went with Brian Robinson. Like, 36 carries, 171 yards, 4 touchdowns. You don't really see the hype from the young draft Twitter folk, but like that old school, you know, the old guard draft people and the big media people, they've been hyping up Robinson like pretty quietly all year, and he's a good back. He's a good back. He was a horse against Ole Miss, but like, I don't know. Were you overly impressed?
No, because I thought it was more the offensive line than him.
Exactly. Yeah, I think he's like the least inspiring Bama RB1 in a long time, and like, I'm not saying he's a bad back. I think he's drafted bull for sure, but he's a day three guy that I think, yeah, like you call it's him TJ Yeldon. Exactly. Yeah. So I don't think we should talk get the talk going too crazy.
Prospect who popped on the scene.
Yeah, okay. So I know he's been at TCU for a year, but I wanted to give JD Spielman the shout out because this was kind of his first waking up game and a player we like for multiple years now. 2 catches, 36 yards, a touchdown, looked explosive. Also had a huge kick return for 87 yards that was pretty awesome. And missing the whole year, basically last year, I think he'll play in the first 2 or 3 games. I believe a knee injury sent him out. Kind of just nice to see Spielman starting to get his footing finally and making some noise there in the Big 12.
I'm going to go with a guy whose team lost, but I think he might be the best prospect at his school, and that's Tyreek Stevenson at Miami, who spent 2 years at Georgia, was a former top 50 national recruit, transferred to Miami, is a 6'2", 214 Swiss Army knife DB who can play safety, can play nickel. I thought he was the best player on the field for Miami against Virginia.
Yeah, he's kind of been like the lone bright spot. I agree with
you. Yeah, which it's hilarious that a backup Georgia DB is the best player at Miami already. but big, physical, and twitchy for a bigger nickel. I think he's far more athletic than Bubba Bolden.
I love Bubba. Who doesn't love Bubba?
I know you do. And then my small school guy was already Carson Strong, so I've hit everything.
Okay, yeah. So I mentioned I got Toa Taua, who I love. I love Toa Taua. In a big game, 12 carries, 124 yards, 2 touchdowns. I love Vi, too. Yeah. I loved Vi and Cap at Nevada so much. Also caught the ball a lot. He can catch the ball well. I think there's something to Toa Taua. But my main guy here, I put Khalil Shakir again, who didn't have the biggest statistical game for him. 4 catches, 70 yards, a touchdown. But had like a huge punt return. It was only 40 yards, but it was just huge because it put him in like right in red zone. And then his touchdown catch was insane, where he was diving backwards, just stuck one hand out there, got it, held on to it, like threw the bobble through the ground. Pretty ridiculous. I thought Shakir, like every week he does something really impressive.
Yes, he does. That catch was insane. Just a reminder, download Spotify Green Room, free in the iOS App Store. iOS App Store? Iowa App Store. And, you know, follow all the people you want to follow. And tune in and find out when people go live. And that's that. And, okay, AJ, I went 2-3 last week. Not great for me.
Also went 2-3. Arky and Ole Miss cost us both.
It was tough.
What do you got your season record? I'm 10-10, which I'm kind of proud to not be sub .500, so.
I'm 13-7.
Good work. I know you've been doing good. That's why I wanted to ask for the record. So I know you've been doing good.
Until I went 2-3, I put too much faith in Arkansas. Don't worry, I'm doing it again. Because I'm starting off with 12 p.m. on ESPN. Number 13, Arkansas, heading to Oxford at number 17, Ole Miss. The Pig Suey backs are plus six. Yes, please. Pig Suey away. Revenge game. One massive takeaway from that Arkansas-Georgia loss was how undisciplined Arkansas was. They were getting penalized constantly. I think Sam Pittman puts them in their place. They slow this game down. I think they're a more physical football team than Ole Miss. Ole Miss, obviously, a much faster and spread it out team. It's going to come down to obviously it's going to come down to who's got the better matchup on defense to hold with the other. I believe in this Arkansas defense. I love them. I don't think that Ole Miss offensive line is going to be able to block these boys who are playing pissed off because they got dominated by Georgia.
I am also taking the Razorbacks. yeah, it's just like Georgia's a bad matchup for them because Arkansas is big and physical, but Georgia's bigger and more physical. So, but when they match up against a team like Ole Miss, who's not as big and not as physical, I think that favors Arky, and they're getting points. I was rolling the Hogs. I learned my lesson after picking against them against Texas. So this is just a speed bump. I'm rolling the Hogs still.
Okay. 12, ABC, Red River Shootout, number 6, Oklahoma, versus number 21, Texas, in Dallas, Texas. Sooners are 3.5-point favorites. Oklahoma hasn't looked great. They're narrowly beating everyone. Texas seems to have kind of found its groove with Casey Thompson at quarterback. I'm assuming you're also picking this game. Who are you taking?
Yeah, I feel like this is like the least excited I've been for a Red River game in a while. Even though Oklahoma's still good, it's just Oklahoma's not covering against anyone. I know it's only 3.5 points, but I'm taking the Longhorns. I'm taking the Longhorns. Casey Thompson didn't look particularly good against TCU, but he's been good. Texas got the best player in the game, Bijan Robinson. And when you're getting points, I'm not going to bet against them, especially when Oklahoma hasn't been special. I think this is going to be a close game. I think that 3.5 is going to be really in play. Oklahoma might win. Maybe this is a field goal game. Maybe this is an instant classic Red River game. I hope it is. But give me those points. I'm going to take Texas.
I'll be taking Oklahoma because the best quarterback in this game is at Oklahoma. His name's Caleb Williams. The reins are going to be handed to him at halftime. He's going to lead the Sooners. Spencer Rattler's going to transfer to Arizona to play for Jed Fish. Now, I am going to take Oklahoma. I've got to believe that they find some sort of groove eventually on offense with Lincoln Riley and all that talent. I think Texas is fraud. Like, I think they're a fraudulent team. I don't believe them. I believe in Bijan Robinson, but I don't believe in them yet. I don't think there's enough dogs there to compete in a shootout style game with Oklahoma.
Shootout? Oklahoma doesn't even score a lot. Just call the Red River Shootout. Yeah, I don't know.
Caleb Williams is coming.
Okay, Caleb Williams. So they got, what, 10 points at halftime? And then Caleb Williams puts 40 in the second half?
They'll be down 21-10 to Texas at half. Caleb Williams will come out in the second half. Oklahoma wins 37. I don't know if that makes sense.
42 would have made sense.
37-24.
Okay, 47-24. I'm gonna say Oklahoma wins 28-27.
Cameron Dicker, the kicker, misses a game-winning
field. Dicker, the kicker, misses the game-winning field again. Yeah.
3:30 CBS, the SEC game of the week. Number 2 Georgia at number 18. Frauburn, get it? Because fraud. Bulldogs are 14.5 road favorites. I don't know how you would. Auburn's like falling into wins. I don't know what's going on there, but Georgia's just gonna roll them.
Yeah, their first one in Death Valley in what, since 1960 or something insane like that. Yeah, go Dogs. They're gonna roll them. They're gonna roll them big time. Again, just sim until we get Alabama. What's Bo
Nix going to do when he's got Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, and Devontae Wyatt and Adam Anderson all breathing, N'Kobe Dean all breathing down his neck? What's Bo Nix going to do? Nothing.
Throw picks to Darian Kendrick, yeah.
4 p.m. Fox, number 4 Penn State, at number 3 Iowa. I think pretty obviously the most interesting game of the week because this is really, at this point, for a playoff spot.
it's so weird, number three versus number four, but it's like a weird matchup, and it's not like getting like that much hype, you know what I mean?
It's yeah, funny. But at least we'll have Gus and Joel on the call.
No, it's sick. I love this. I'm excited. Minus two at home at Kinnick? I'm taking the Hawkeyes. I'm taking the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I'm taking the Hawkeyes too, because they've proven to have one of the most dominant defenses in the country.
Yeah.
Offensively, they don't have much of an identity, but neither does Penn State.
No.
Iowa's defense is the best unit in this game. Tyler Goodson's the best running back in this game. I mean, Jahan Dotson's the best receiver in this game, but the quarterbacks both suck.
And the DBs are great for Iowa. Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the like Iowa's offensive line hasn't been dominant, but Tyler Linderbaum has been. And I like that a little bit more than Penn State. I think set like a 17-13 Iowa win.
So, okay. I was going to ask you. I don't know if you saw the total, but do you want to guess what it was?
I think I saw. Was it like 41.5?
41.5. Yeah, which is like hilarious, but like accurate. Yeah.
Alternatively, I think like Oklahoma-Texas was like 66.
Yeah. All right, so we matched on four. I'm sure you don't have my last one, so I'm going to go here. Noon, Big Ten Network. Michigan State -5, going to Piscataway, taking on the Scarlet Knights. This is my bonus game. I'm gonna take Michigan State. I think 5 points, they're playing good ball. Rutgers is always tough, but 5 points, a touchdown. I feel like the Spartans are better than Knights, right? I think so. They covered by a touchdown.
But New Jersey's better than Michigan.
That I can't disagree with.
Okay, my fool around game, I like to go G5 usually. So I am. And I couldn't believe, I was just going to pick this game because I like the players in it. But I couldn't believe this line. 5-0 UTSA, 3.5-point dogs at 1-4 Western Kentucky. Give me the Roadrunners. Frank Harris, Sincere McCormick, who's just get like being run into the ground to win games. Western Kentucky got your boy Bailey Zapp,
whose arm is falling off trying to win games.
Yeah, like it's one team just gonna run the ball 40 times, the other's gonna throw it 60. I love this game. It's on 7 p.m. on Stadium. I plan to watch it. I'm really excited about it. Give me the Roadrunners +3.5.
Fuck, I wish that was a Friday night special.
I know, it's such a fun, weird game.
That's a good line, though. But yeah, Western Kentucky's like they're losing, but they're not playing poorly at all. Like Zappy's been
no,
good.
Bailey Zapp's like second in the country in yards and touchdowns, and they've got the leading receivers. The other guy, they're one of the three receivers from Houston Baptist who transferred with them.
Right. Watch out, Bailey Zappy's the senior quarterback that's going to go to the Senior Bowl and emerge.
This game is a battle for old school run the ball and new school throw the ball, in my opinion.
I like how this is the game we like previewed the most.
it's my favorite game on paper, at least.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Penn State and Iowa's a lot of fun. I think that's gonna be a cool game. I'm excited.